Thanks for tuning in to the Prime Nostalgia, the podcast dedicated to entertainment from childhood. That's 80s, 90s, the latest 2000s. Cause Prime, you know it all, and Lee Boy be wild. And he's from all that, dropping gems for you to find. So that's orange, the light is line. Prime time is all the time. We talking about the classics, and there's so many. That's Lee Boy TV and Prime. Now.
All right, what's up, y'all? It's me, the Prime, coming with another episode of the PNP, and I'm here with my co-host, Lee Boy. Lee Boy, you got to bring the people in.
Oh, you know what's up? Hey, I come with the energy, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing my push-ups just before, got my blood pumping, all of that. Hey, look, I'm just treating this like it's a skit. Like, who used to do this? Remember Josh Server was the super workout man? I think he was rushing, too. Not that that has anything to do with anything. But yeah, Lee Boy TV. Did I just babble? What was that? I don't know.
I don't know what that was, but all right, I say energy, so you brought the energy.
Anyways,
we got a special guest here today, a good friend of the show. We got Christina Kirkman. I don't know, should we do Nick? All right, you know,
AKA, what? She got
yeah, AKA, AKA, yeah. AKA. Go out. What's your AKA?
I got an AKA.
What do you have one? I don't know.
I mean, I got C Money.
AKA
Kirkman,
AKA
Kirks, right?
Kirks is
out there, yeah.
Come on, see money.
Hey, but see wait,
money. That's a new one. That's a new
didn't
one.
We have an AKA for Kirk come out on a previous podcast? Was that Kirkman or no?
Maybe Quirky Kirky. That's what.
Yes, I knew it was something quirky.
I'll take that.
I will not forget that, even though I just forgot it. But yeah, never again. Never again.
That's a good one. I gotta coin that one.
Is Kirky quirky?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's real quirky. Come on.
Oh man, but if you guys don't know, shame on you. But Christina Kirkman is a former All That cast member, just like me. You know, we shared that common history. And she's also a friend of the show, been on the podcast before with some of her cast. And we've been meaning to have you on for a while. I think ever since Cobra Kai came out, because I heard you was a fan of that. I wanted to talk about that with you. But Prime here hasn't seen any of it yet still. What kind of nostalgia fan are you, man? But
Sweet Delay, that's all you need to know, right?
Oh man, but are you still a fan of nostalgia projects and stuff in general? Obviously, you know we love nostalgia here on the podcast, but what are some of your favorite projects that you tap into still?
Okay, this is bad. I mean, I watch SpongeBob pretty much every single day of the week. I just had this conversation with somebody. I think Steven Hillenburg is a genius. It is probably one of my favorite shows of all time. I don't know how dirty I'm allowed to get on this podcast.
Oh, do your thing, yeah.
Okay, in college, we had a thesis where we had to take one medium of art and transform it into another medium. So I watched 300 episodes of SpongeBob and I took a bunch of the sound bites and removed the context and I made an adult swim show, okay? Now, let me give it to you here.
Okay.
SpongeBob lives in Bikini Bottom, okay? SpongeBob is absorbent, okay? Mm. So he is a tampon. And then Patrick is a pink blob that lives under a rock and he's hard to find. So he is the area that sometimes men have a hard time finding.
Okay.
He lives under a rock. And then
Squidward is
phallic. He has the phallic nose.
He does.
And then Sandy Cheeks. Mr. Krabs is the STD.
Oh Lord. Hey, you got it all figured out. You got life figured out for sure.
I love SpongeBob so much. So that is I watch SpongeBob all the time, constantly.
Okay. We're gonna go into a little spiel here, real quick. What's your favorite episode and or like meme of SpongeBob?
Oh, the swearing.
Oh, okay.
They're swearing and they just use all like the dolphin sounds and when they're playing building escalators.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Man, but is SpongeBob, is it? I mean, because you still find it hilarious to this day. And you know, there's so many questionable cartoons on on Nicktoons. But I actually have this at the top of my mind because of the Turning Red movie that just dropped on Disney Plus. It's a little bit adult themed. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but do you think that SpongeBob was an adult themed cartoon? Is it appropriate for kids? Because when you're throwing in those jokes, I don't know. I just wouldn't have my, like, you know.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. It is.
What is the age limit? What's the age limit on SpongeBob?
That's why I think he's a genius, because I think that he did a really good job at writing subtleties that only kids, like, there's an undertone that only the kids pick up on, and then there is an air of jokes that the parents can pick up on. Because, for example, there's a lot of those where, like, someone is teaching SpongeBob, like, what's going to happen if he goes to jail, if he gets locked up, and he drops a bar of soap and he says, whatever you do, don't drop the soap, and he winks, and I'm like, oh my god. It was right there the whole time, but you would have never picked up on it as a kid, which is why I have an appreciation as an adult. So I think it is appropriate for both children and adults.
I guess if you're an adult watching it, I guess if you're an adult watching, you're going to be like, oh, this is crazy. But if you're a kid, you're like, oh, yeah. I don't know what that means. Over your
head. One day you'll find out, though. Totally. Now, to bring it to all that, do you think there were some similar undertones and some of all that jokes? Especially y'all season.
I'll give you one right here. It's funny. We were just chatting about how back in the day, I've recently watched all of these home videos my dad would record behind the scenes, which would just never happen today. Like, my dad is walking around with a live audience and he's filming on his shitty VHS. And
They would never let that, because people would be leaking all kind of seasons.
He was walking around, no problem. He was interviewing the writers on, like, it was, you know, whatever. But there was a scene that I was in. It was a cold open. And I believe it was Chelsea Brummett, Lisa Foyles, and maybe Giovanni. And somebody was lit on fire. And they said, oh my god, the All That hose. But it was those three girls. And they were the three oldest girls at the time. And as a kid, I watched it. And my mom said she remembers that all the adults and the writers were laughing. Like, they all chuckled. They knew what the heck they were doing. And they said the All That hose.
That is, it's genius, though. I mean, but I mean, is that Nickelodeon? Nickelodeon used to put out some.
You know, it was like, that's the cool thing about comedy, is that, you know, you can write it in a way that only kids pick up on it. And then there's, like, this air of dry, dirty comedic tone that you only pick up on as an adult, which I think is really cool.
I think especially in the later season, I think they just push the envelope, see how far they can get, because there's some stuff in there that's just hilarious. But it's like, oh, that would not wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, I love that, though. I mean, it's bad, but it's good bad, I guess. Yeah.
I think that's why it
reached across generations, from the older kids to adults. I mean, in addition to the musical guest, but that was just one of the things that made it palatable for everybody. So always love to All That, man, and the adult content. I mean, it wasn't too bad on All That. It was worse on some of the Nicktoons, for sure.
Nah, it was worse than them later seasons. I don't know.
Later seasons?
Kirk, were you in Lamos?
Was I? No, I don't think I was. I was in Zorro, and I was confused those. But Lamos was, and they had the
Lamos. Yes,
they had the. I think, did they all? Who had the stuffed butt? Was it Chelsea Brummett?
Chelsea.
Yeah, she had the Kim K booty, and she would, like, that was her superpower. She would, like, knock people out with her butt.
I think Colt had, like, the sprinkler. He was like a sprinkler or something. I can't remember. Was like a lot of crazy things.
Do you have a favorite skit or a favorite character?
I liked playing the frozen head from the Unreal World. They actually had me. Before I did that voice, I had to do a really, really deep voice. I had to watch Aladdin. What is the bird's name in Aladdin? I remember the writer dropped off the script and then a VHS to Aladdin and said, we want this voice. And I remember being like, at the time, my voice wasn't this deep. I had this super high-pitched annoying voice. And I was
You were like one of the youngest cast members, but we'll talk about that. But yeah, you were so young. Yeah,
I was like, damn, I got to make my voice this deep. And I remember I lost my voice for like 4 days after that. But that was fun to shoot because it was just, I had, you know, the frozen head and I was just shot in the freezer. I also really liked playing, Squats from the Chef. That was the longest hair and makeup. I think collectively it would take me about, I think I would be in makeup for 5 hours because I had all of the scabs. They had to do full body makeup on that. And that was so funny because it was me and Kyle Sullivan, and Kyle Sullivan was the king of always breaking character and swearing. And like, he would always, like, I had to eat disgusting things in that, during that character. And he always decided to like mess up or break character when I was like in the middle of eating something disgusting. And like, we'd have to do it 1,000 times. That was the most fun. We also would do that a couple times with a live audience. So I think those were my two favorite.
So being in front of the live audience or recording on the, you know, on the private days, what was your preference? And because I know mine, but it was just interesting to have that live audience element. You know, you're not going to get that on all TV shows. But, you know, some of the great comedies and sitcoms had it, especially in that era. But I don't think it's not a big thing now. But
I loved my first ever live audience was Sunshine Sally. And I actually had to throw a book through the window. It was me and Lisa Foyles. And, you know, they had this sugar glass and I kept throwing it and I couldn't break it. And I probably threw that book 20 times and you hear everybody on set being like, oh man, reset. And then finally I broke it and I broke character and I went, yes. And I immediately, like, my mom watching
behind the
camera, everybody was excited. And then when you broke character, everybody was like, oh man. And the live audience lost it. And but once I got over that hurdle, I loved live audiences. It was so much fun. You can't have that energy when you're just filming with just a crew, you know? So I really liked live audience.
That footage is somewhere, by the way, because I have seen I've seen the many times that it took to, so that's probably like in the blooper episode or something. I don't know. But yes.
I think it is.
I have a little question because I've seen that you post this recently.
Okay.
You know, our other friend of the show played a character on the show and you like took his, when he left, you kind of took his role.
Yep.
And I'm gonna see if Lee Boy, do you have any idea of who I'm talking about?
I think it's Brian.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't guess that, but I literally read it. You know, I'll be doing a little bit homework. I don't step in here without, you know, doing a little homework. I say Christina. It said Christina took his whole spot on the cast. I was like, damn. As soon as he left the show, Christina.
She didn't take his.
Yeah, I didn't really. Spot, you know, yeah, they trying to his do the character. Most online,
but I took a character.
She took a little fetus.
Oh, she did. Oh no.
But I was a little embryo.
Little embryo, yo embryo. That was always what he was.
I didn't take it, but rather it was inspired by his character.
Oh yeah, no, obviously no. All love. Yeah.
A little. I mean, y'all need a group. It definitely should be a group. You know.
That was.
Who's gonna be a little placenta? You know, yeah, I can come out. Placenta boys. You know.
Shooting that was mortifying. That was probably my most mortifying thing to shoot. I think
You were in the stomach as well, just like?
Yes, and it was one of my very first characters. So I didn't really have a lot under my belt yet. And it wasn't a live audience, but I remember there was a shit ton of people on set that day. Like it was, everybody decided to bring their mom to work day.
And it's funny to watch what you.
You're in that, you know, obviously super unflattering nude jumpsuit with the head. And then you're laying on this ginormous green screen on your back and you're kind of rapping to the rigged camera and I'm naked, I feel naked and I'm rapping to this camera and I just feel all of these people around me. That was a trip to do that one.
Yeah, man, I was always, you know, It always felt a little bit embarrassing, uncomfortable when they put you in these damn tights. And I was like, please just don't put me in no leotard this week. I'm going to get through the week fine. But yeah, you know, that's what you got to do on all that. You see how they do Josh Server like every episode.
Oh, yeah. You got to have no shame. You just got to, like, at some point. That's why it's good to do it when you're a kid, right? Because you don't really have shame as a kid. But I definitely remember being like, this feels very weird. I am naked. But that's rap.
That's rap. Okay.
It is. Man, but I want to get into some of the contests. You want to say that for the second half? I got to hear the story from the very top because this is just unbelievable. If you guys don't know, Kirkman, she really lived a dream when it comes to being able to join a cast of a television show. You're sitting at home watching it. You're like, hey, and I got to ask you, who was your favorite before you got on? But yeah, you're sitting at home watching the show. You're like, I want to be part of this. And you weren't even, or were you in the industry or did you? No, yeah, I mean, this is literally a dream come true because I'll say that mine was somewhat similar, but I was, you know, in California, I was in the industry and I was like, I want to get on all that. So I just took the audition very seriously. But for you, you used your love for the show and comedy and your admiration for what I'm guessing is an amazing cast because you have to like all the predecessors before you, you know, there are just so many classic acts on all that. But for you to really hop in the game based on that, I think is just incredible. So kudos to you for getting at 9 years old. How old were you?
I was 9, just turning 10.
Man, isn't that the youngest? Because I was 10. Yeah. You might have been the youngest. Amanda, I think, was around that same age too when she first started. We'll have to look it up. We have to see who's the youngest altogether. But you did it, though. That's crazy. Oh, yeah. So, you know, we're going to go to the break real quick because we got to hear that Are You All That story directly from Christina Kirkman. She's got the tea, y'all. And I'm telling you, there's a couple moving elements in the story you're not going to want to miss. But Christina, can you give us a song that you would like to hear on the break? Any song in the world?
Any song in the world?
Yeah, it's your favorite. I don't know. Something came on All That. Who's your favorite musical guest on All That?
I was going to say Goodies by Sierra.
I mean, that one's that's always goodie for me. Right. That's the
song. You guys are doing nostalgia. I'm going to go with Goodies by Sierra. That's what I want to hear.
All right, look, you called it right here, Goodies, and we'll be right back after the break.
My goodies, my goodies, my goodies, not my goodies. You may look at me and think that I'm just a young girl, but I'm not just a young girl, baby. But I'm looking for a sexy, independent, down to spend it type that's getting stoned. I'm not being too dramatic, that's the way I gotta have it. I bet you want the goodies, bet you gotta buy it. Got you a hot and got out, make us a talk about it. I'm looking for the goodies, keep on looking cause they stay in the jar. I'm no fucking you. I'm sexy, independent. I ain't waited, so you already know. I'm not being too dramatic. That's the way I gotta have it.
I was always putting on dance routines and doing stand-up comedy routines. And I saw the contest and it was for the funniest kid in America and the winner was gonna be on All That. And I remember I just turned to my dad, both of my parents are like so encouraging and supporting. And my dad was really the big influence in my life with comedy. Growing up, he showed me all the Jim Carrey movies and Adam Sandler, and he's the one that really got me into loving comedy. And I turned to him and I said, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna win. And he said, great. And without a hesitation, he went down in the basement, grabbed the VHS, we looked at the directions, and we recorded the first tape that night. And I think it went from, it was at 10,000. It was in America, but then there was a couple other regions that they accepted auditions from. So it was 10,000 people auditioned, and I didn't think anything of it. I know they were doing live auditions in California, assuming that all of those kids were child actors or trying to get into the business. I was just this like regular kid in Melrose, Massachusetts, and I was like, all right, let's do it. And we recorded one, and I think the sides that were given to me, it was titled Meeting Jay Leno. And the funny story about that is I didn't know who Jay Leno was. So I read it and I said, Ma, who's Jay Leno? Yeah. And the first person I ever met in Los Angeles was Jay Leno. I met him at Bob's Burgers 2 days after I flew out to California for the first time. He was at Bob's Burgers with his whatever nice car he was driving. And my mom said, that's Jay Leno. And I got
no, Leno.
Yeah, yeah, that's Jay Leno. And I got
just casually. Yeah, Jay Leno. Yeah, okay.
And yeah, so I did that scene, and then I had to do a couple of improvised scenes, one of which I did SpongeBob. I did some rapper. It was like some rapper that was also a breakdancer, but like I don't know. I just made these characters. And I got a call that I made top 50. And I was like, holy shit. And I remember my dad got the call. And we just screamed and we just ran around the house. We got top 50. And then from top 10 on, they were going to be airing them on Nickelodeon, I believe, every Friday leading up to. So we went and had a viewing party, and this was going to go from top 50 to top 10. And I reached top 10. And I was like, oh my God, like there's a shot that I might actually get to California, because top 5 was going to California. My mom gave her job a heads up. Hey, there's a possibility I might have to go to California and whatever. And then I made top 5, and we all flew out to California. It was my first time ever in California. I think Taryn Killam actually was the one that met us at the airport and interviewed us, and Pickle Boy was there, and a bunch of other characters were there. And yeah, and then we got to sets. And each of the top 5 members was paired up with a cast member on all that. So I was paired up with Jamie, Lynn Spears, and Lisa Foyles for Trash and Fashion, and Taryn Killam. And when we were, I was never shy, as I don't think I have ever been shy in my whole life. That was the first time I got very shy. And we were doing rehearsals, and I just froze. I mean, there was all these lights on me. I had never been in that situation ever. There was, you know, all these cameras, and I really, really became shy and guarded, and I just did horrible. And my mom now tells me later on that everybody on set was kind of like really surprised. And my mom pulled me aside after, and she said, listen, if you decide you don't want to do this and you want to go home, we'll pack our bags and go. But I know how good you are. At least just give it 1,000%. And no matter what happens, at least you know you gave it 1,000%. And she said, don't care about whatever anybody thinks. Just go out there and do what you do when we're at home. Just be yourself. And I went out there and I nailed it. I just went out there and I pretended like I was in front of my parents. And I remember Dan ran down and gave me a big hug, and I just knew like, okay, I did it. That was it. That's all I could do. And then we were backstage and they were going to announce the winner. And there was a couple, I think there was two other people in the top 5 whose name began with a K. I think it was Colton and Kendra.
Kendra, yeah.
And it was like the longest, like, you know, Taryn was up there doing his whole theatrical, like, and the funniest kid in America is, and I just remember blacking out. And I remember hearing a kuh. And then I remember some PA grabbing me by the wrist, yanking me on stage. And if you've seen the video, I walk out and I go, thank you. Like my arms are by my side. There's all these kids, they're dropping balloons. You know, you got Amanda, I think Josh Peck, Nick Cannon, everybody's freaking out. I'm like, holy shit, my life just changed. What the hell happened? They picked me up, and then I got off the stage and I had my first interview. And the reporter asked me and my parents, like, you know, what are you gonna do now that your kid's gonna be on like the number one kid show? And my parents said, we're gonna keep her very grounded. And I said, you're gonna ground me? And then that was it. And then that was just like the beginning of my life completely changing. I had a call. I was a competitive gymnast at the time. I had to stop doing gymnastics. My mom up and quit her job and moved out with me, and my dad stayed home, and we just made it work. And it was the most fun I have ever had in my entire life. I never for one second thought I was working a job. I just thought that I was showing up to this playground with a bunch of my homies and just making people laugh. And that was it. And I became so close with everybody. Jack DeSena in particular was my go-to for everything. I followed him around like a sad puppy. And Jamie Lynn Spears. I mean, I was with them all the time. They really like, you know, having somebody very young on the cast as an adult now looking back, I'm like, that's a lot. Like there were times that they wanted to go out and do things and then, oh, we got to deal with this little 10-year-old that's
for sure, yeah.
Following us around. Oh, and yeah, they're so amazing. Great. And they were, and they all made me feel so welcome. And I had so much to learn. I was not an actor and they all taught me and they were all very patient with me. And I got to kind of work with the writers on some characters. I had a ball. I mean, I always say like there will never be a show that any of us will ever work on that will be quite like that.
I agree. I mean, and that's a big motivation for me, like exiting the game when I did, because I was just like, am I ever going to reach the peak of what I did? Like that was the most classic 90s show. And I really, you know, it was hard to find motivation after that. But yeah, I tried, and people wonder and speculate all the time about the atmosphere of all that, like was it fun and what we did, like, but you described it as a playground, just showing up and you know, with so many kids on your cast too. I think although you were the youngest, I think the age was a little, maybe a little bit different than it was on my cast. But yeah, it was always just so much fun being around the guys and girls that are so hilarious. Like,
and then we would like bring it to the prop room. Like we would steal props. We would, you know, take all the pixie sticks from Crafty and just be like, you know, chugging pixie sticks. And then, you know, all of the shows, we all worked together. So like Drake Bell and Josh and Miranda Cosgrove were always on set. The kids from Unfabulous and Ned's Declassified. Like we were always all together. We'd go to the Kids' Choice Awards and we did Slime Time Live and we did, you know, the on-air dares. Like we were such a big community. We were always together. It was just like having a bunch of your friends.
Yeah, and Prime is more in tune with that era.
I was about to say, he don't know none of the shows you're talking about.
Did I just show my age right now? But no, because I was just going to say, we didn't really have as much camaraderie on Nickelodeon. Like we were more in touch with like the Moesha cast and Steve Harvey and different casts like that. It was a little bit different for us because Kenan and Kel, obviously, you know, it was Kenan and Kel was there for us too, but just a little bit different vibe because we didn't have so many, I don't think, shows at that time. Like we never crossed paths with Alex Mack or it was just a little bit different vibe. But I'm envious of you guys' generation for that though.
Yeah, it was nice. We had a really fun time.
We have to address though the other K's though. Because she said it was Kurt,
and Kendra. Yeah,
Colton and Kendra, which were they both on the episode at the same time as you when we came on?
Kendra and Ryan ended up being on all that. Right. Kendra is like one of the funniest people ever. I remember he would crack me up on set. He was so funny. Mm-hmm. Colton. Well, actually, I have a little bit of tea. You guys might know this.
Maybe.
One of the girls that was on Top 5 with me, her name was Stephanie, which she called herself Sausage Girl at the time.
Yeah, at the time. Wait a minute.
Which it's funny now because I am a big fan of 90 Day Fiancé.
Okay.
She is on that show.
Mm.
And she sells her farts in jars.
Wait, so I know about this girl. Yes, I've heard this story.
She actually ended up in the hospital. She no longer does it because she had some gastro problems and now she's not farting in jars.
And There's been some copycats of this, but she was like one of the OGs.
Oh, she was the OG.
The OG. Okay, yes. That's
I'm
what
so I, confused on what's I did going
my
on right now.
I did my research on that as well. I had to research that. But you now had to
research that?
But wait, well, I mean, it's very
he wanted to. He was like, where do I buy?
Where do you buy? I got an extra $1,000 that I'm trying to trick off. No,
he even knows how to say
she's a top five. Yeah, I didn't know. So she's a top five. Are you all that participant? That is.
Yes.
All right.
It was us. It was me, her, Colton, Ryan, and Kendra.
No.
Yes.
All right.
Wait, you we got to bring all these people together on the podcast, bro. This is a hell of a reunion we got to work on.
Right? You're the only person I have not seen anything of since we were, since top five was Colton. He was from Hawaii. He was very much like a surfer dude. I never saw any bit of him post that. Ryan, I mean, I've chatted with Ryan a bunch. We're, you know, friends. Kendra, we talk all the, you know, we talk on social media. And then Stephanie, I stumbled upon that. And I was like,
she's out of here. She's super famous right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I might have to look.
She's servicing the world. Yeah. Might have to pick up some new food. Yeah. Some new fuel.
Fiber.
Lord. The things you learn when it comes to nostalgia. I love all this, right. Is why we all love, right. Nostalgia Prime, because it never ends. You don't know where it begins, where it ends. And Kirkman, you just opened up a whole new can of whoop, what kind of ass?
Oh my god, all right. Well, look,
reel it in for
obviously.
Us, please.
Obviously, your season is at a later season. So, like, a lot of people, I would call it underrated, because y'all do have a lot of underrated things. And this is like one of my favorite sketches with Zoltorix. Is actually like people sleep on Zoltorix. I don't know why. Probably because, you know, it is like later. So I guess a lot of people will be like, okay, but Zoltorix is good.
It was so good. I mean, a lot of that, you know, I kind of want to go back and watch. I mean, now that we've had that conversation about like all of the undertones, I kind of, you notice them more when you're watching other people. I kind of want to go back and see some of the ones that I've done and be like, what the hell did they have me say that is going to come bite me in the ass in 10 years?
Oh yeah, because people.
Am I canceled yet? What happened?
Don't bring it back. Yeah, don't bring it back.
But that was, I mean, that. Yeah, I feel like all of those shows poked fun at something, right? I mean, the Unreal World was poking fun at the Real World. My Embryo was TRL. Zortogs, I don't know. That was probably poking fun at something. We got to look into that.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, Christina, tell us about, you have a couple other things on your resume as well that we could definitely discuss. I didn't know you were in Cat in the Hat.
I wasn't.
Okay, it's one of those. It's one of those IMDb things.
It's been on my IMDb since I was 10. However, people to this day still comment on my social media, and they're like, "I loved you in Cat in the Hat." So I watch Cat in the Hat like every year to like try to find myself. I'm like, was I edited in there? And I have no idea. But like, I got the IMDb credit, so I just go with it.
All right, you got.
Do
the
they
credit.
Just think that you're the little girl? That's
I don't weird. Know. I don't know. But people actively comment about it all the time.
But I was just bringing that up because I was wondering if you have any desire to get back in the game, or is it something that you're actively pursuing now? How do you feel about it? And the reason why I asked is because we're talking about, I guess, PC culture a little bit. Some of the jokes that we were doing back then couldn't be accepted now. Do you think you could fit into this new mold of entertainment? And how are you attacking getting out there? Because your Instagram, I mean, you're one of the most popping out of all that cast. I mean, you got probably the most talent when it comes to the social medias, but what's your plans with it?
I am actively acting. I was on a show called Ambitions on OWN. We shot in Atlanta. That was right up until the pandemic. And then the pandemic happened and we were all out. And
our character was Ruthless, by the way.
What was that?
Your character was Ruthless, by the way.
Yeah. She was. She definitely was. It was definitely a big change from, you know, all that. But I mean, Hollywood was completely, we were the first industry to shut down and the last one to open. I booked a couple roles during when things started opening back up. I do voiceover now, so video games and all that stuff. And now I am like, I feel like, I mean, with acting, you're the busiest unpaid actor ever. I have 4, 5, 6 auditions a day. And I was just saying this to somebody, the roles I'm going out for are substantial roles. I think I had yesterday my shortest self-tape that I've had in months, and it was 6 pages. I mean, they've been like 8, 10, 12, 15 pages, which, going back to social media, that's why I started doing those TikTok videos, which accidentally went viral for me. I wasn't ever trying to become a TikTok person. I did them during quarantine when I was shooting Ambitions. I was actively using my muscle. I was shooting in Atlanta. I was a week on, a week off for 8 months. I was reading scripts constantly. And then when I stopped, I was like, I really got to keep working that muscle. I was doing Luminosity. But I always tell people, your memorization is a muscle, the same way you go to the gym and work whatever, the same way you're an athlete and you train. It's a muscle. And anybody who says they can't memorize it, it's bullshit. You just got to work your muscle. So I am learning another language, which helps a little bit, but I was like, I need to be reading and memorizing. So I like, for real, read and memorize the back of shampoo bottles when I'm in the shower, the back of Cheez-It boxes when I'm eating, like whatever I can memorize. And then TikTok happened and I'm like, this is so great. This is going to be such an easy way for me to tackle this. So I would try to find the hardest monologues or scenes of movies and TV shows and memorize them. And I can bang these shits out now so fast. So now it's picked up traction and I have a bit of a following and people request things and it's fun. I have this like interactive community, but it really started from just wanting to memorize. And now it's funny. I have like half of my TikTok followers are like, oh my God, why are you not in movies? You're so talented. And then the other half are like, oh my God, you should be an actor. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, thank you. I never thought of that. Cool.
No, but I would say the same thing. Like, you're so talented. We can't wait to see you in, you know, back as a leading lady. What would be your dream role or dream cast to join? Like, what's a project that you're looking at right now that you could see yourself in and you would want to be a part of?
My dream role, which does not exist, but they are making another one right now, is the female Deadpool.
I can see you doing that. Is that a thing? Is it a female Deadpool? I don't know. I'm not really.
It's not a thing, but he has a Deadpool family where his whole family dresses like him and is him pretty much. So that could be.
I think along with the whole PC culture, from what I love comedy. I love comedy to death. I've seen so much comedy. I've noticed that comedy written for men is usually very different than comedy written for women. And I feel like a lot of times writers don't want to push the envelope too much with women. And it's not, and if they do, it's in the sense of making it like overtly sexual. But like, you know, Deadpool is so witty and dirty, but smart. And it really pushes the boundaries. And I feel like anytime they do it for women, it's not, they're not going all out. And I kind of want to change that. I kind of want to be like, listen, like, you know, we're women, yeah, but we're not like sensitive flowers. Like, we can handle these kinds of jokes. And I actually want to do my own stunts. I actually like have a martial arts background and a gymnastics background. And I always say to people like, what is an, and I ask this to everybody, so I'll ask it to you guys as well. What is an actress that you can name that you feel is genuinely good at comedy and also can genuinely play a badass role?
You said an actress or an actor?
Actress, a woman.
And the hard part is generally good at comedy, because I think I have a higher standard for comedy than being a badass. I could name some badass girls, but that are funny, genuinely. The closest I got is Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
She's been a badass and she's been pretty funny. She's obviously hilarious and she's kicked some ass a little bit and she's playing FloJo.
That's true. That's a good one. Well, but, I mean, before she really, I mean, I've been asking this question for so long and most times people can't come up with an answer. The only answer I've ever heard of was Anne Hathaway because of Catwoman.
No.
But I wouldn't ever say, oh, we're casting a villain or a superhero, Anne Hathaway, you know? She's hilarious, she's great at drama, but like basically my point of this is that's kind of been my place that I wanna find is I feel like I can genuinely do comedy and I feel like I can also genuinely kick your fucking ass. So that's where I'm trying to find that and break that little.
That's dope. Off topic.
Depending on the project, could Queen Latifah count? Depending on the project.
Bring her in.
She could be funny sometime, but then she's menacing most of the time.
Sandra Bullock back in the day, she was funny. She was funny. She is funny. Comedian, I don't know. You got the comedy thing for real.
Sandra Bullock is a really good different. I would love to have her career. You know, because she also does drama, she does comedy, and she does action. And I feel like those are the three that I really want to tackle. But there's always women that are so badass, like Angelina Jolie, but am I going to buy her in comedy? And then there are the people that are so funny, Kristen Wiig, am I going to buy her as a villain or a superhero? You know, so.
Well.
Trying to bridge that a little bit. That's my dream role.
Okay.
I see you. I mean, speak it into existence. We're here for you. And then I mean, other things you do. I mean, what's up with the clothing line? Prime, where's your sweater at, man? You was wearing that for, you know, you was rocking it, bro. You didn't bring it out today?
I didn't bring it out today because I wanted to wear the hat.
Oh, you can't do too much.
Yes. You can't wear them all at the same time, you know.
Okay, I got you.
You gotta stretch them out. Plus, I wore it on last week's episode, so
stretch it out. But yeah, tell the people about your brand.
So I started Woman Child during quarantine. I actually was cleaning up my laptop and I found a PowerPoint that I had made from 5 years prior. Woman Child, which is what my mom calls me ever since I was little, because she always says that I'm both a woman, an adult and a child ever since I was a kid. I love, you know, doing backflips off of things and watching SpongeBob. And then I'm also a grandma and like to go to bed at 9 and, you know, whatever. So I wanted to create Woman Childs. And it was basically the reason why I started coming up with the idea of it was I buy a lot of like dude t-shirts. Like I kind of into the comedy thing that we were talking about, like all of the graphic t-shirts for women are like, not before I've had my coffee first and live, laugh, love. And you know, I don't like, I'm not wearing that. So I always used to go to Zoomies and like buy the guys t-shirts cause they were edgy and they were, you know, I was like, all right, we need that for women. I wanna make some like graphic content for women. And that's what I did. And I did it as a passion project during quarantine. I did it with no intention of really making any money or I just needed to be creative. I started doing it and I decided to start making the pieces. I don't know why. I was like, oh, I'm gonna start making pieces on my own. That sounds great. I don't know how to do anything, but we're just gonna try it. I was making things by hand. And I remember I did a pre-sale, my first pre-sale on a Friday, and I was going to Arizona. And I was like, oh, Monday I'll fill all the orders. I'll have like 5 and then I'll ship them out. And I came back and I had 150 orders and I had to hand make everything. I was like, oh my God. So I was like downtown in a warehouse, 13 hours sewing fucking tags. I was like, I'm never doing this again. Did that. And then I was like, I'm going to do limited collections and then I'm going to do private label. I'm going to do wholesale pieces. I'm just going to build a whole brand full of things that I like. And now it's just kind of like, it's there. And honestly, I love it the most because it's now this really cool community of like badass women and men and kids and moms and teachers. And a lot of people, a lot of the responses I have gotten, because some of my pieces are a little bit edgy and, you know, say be fucking nice or whatever. My first t-shirt was actually called the Karen crop and it said be fucking nice, and it came after the quarantine and yada yada. And I have, you know, teachers messaging me from small towns in Texas being like, oh my God, I feel like I have permission now to like wear these kinds of things. So it's been really cool to have like a lot of women find their confidence through like, who gives a fuck what you're wearing? Or if, you know, some Karen at the supermarket looks at you weird, like who gives a fuck, just wear it. And that's why I like it, because I feel like I've been able to like be in this community of people and we kind of hype each other up. But it's solely for creative purposes now. Like I keep it there. Sometimes I release a new collection, but now that everything's open again and I'm auditioning like a mad person, I don't have the time to be downtown 13 hours a day. So now we're just chilling and we're, you know, in this really cool community, but you know, we're still active. We're selling things. I tried to donate a lot of proceeds from different collections. I have one collection up right now called the Kindness Collection, and a portion of that goes to the LA Mission, which helps with homelessness in downtown LA. And then I had, during October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I had a shirt and a portion of the proceeds would go to breast cancer awareness. And yeah, we're just trying to make a change, make a difference out here, you know?
I mean, it has an undertone of women empowerment. And I don't know if we mentioned it while recording that we're, you know, sort of here because it is Women's History Month. We want to highlight some of our friends and castmates that have been on Nickelodeon. That's, you know, part of our community. But how much is women empowerment a part of your brand and just who are you are as a person? Because, you know, just looking at you from afar, you know, on social media, you exude strength and independence. But then also, you know, we see what your relationship and how, you know, open you are and how you can be vulnerable in that as well. So what does it mean? You know, what does women empowerment mean to you just in general?
You know, I struggled with this for a while. And solely because I didn't always growing up have the best experience with girlfriends. And naturally as a young girl and an impressionable girl, that kind of alters your perception of female empowerment. And I remember for a very long time always being guarded around women, because women can be very cutthroat with each other. And I think that's why women empowerment is so important. Men, I feel, aren't really like that with one another, but women, there's so much, you know, there's so much competition and jealousy and just so many things that we go through, understandable things that we go through. And I think I've cracked the code of how to really embrace woman empowerment and lift each other up. And you have to be okay with yourself. And I think there's a lot of women who want to be like, yes, queen, female empowerment, yada, yada, yada. But then behind closed doors, you know, maybe they're not so kind when speaking about women. And I find the only way to do that in everything, just being supportive of one another, is to really be okay with who you are and being confident in who you are. And that's the energy that spreads. And that's the energy that is real. And, you know, I go to a lot, I live in Los Angeles. I'm not an influencer, but I, those lines blend in Los Angeles. I have a lot of friends that are YouTubers or influencers or photographers. And we kind of all go to these events. And you get a slew of women, you have the actors, you have content creators, yada, yada, yada. And those events are so intimidating. You know, you go and everybody's kind of on their phone and everybody's checking one another out and taking their photos. And I remember I went to one for a very well-known brand, and it was my first time going, and it was at a nightclub. And I was like, here we go, I'm going to go and dance. And I remember I showed up, and my girlfriend, who's gone to these events many a times, me and my girlfriend were the only two people dancing. And all of the women were like, what the fuck are you doing dancing at a nightclub? What, this is not how it goes. And my girlfriend was like, oh my God, this is like ballsy of you right now. Like, you're dancing. Like, you don't dance at these things. Like, you just on your phone and you just look at each other. But once we did it, a bunch of girls that normally looked like they would not have engaged started coming forward and dancing and putting their phone down and like hyping each other up. And that's kind of what like my goal with Woman Child is like, sometimes you gotta like, you gotta be the leader of it. You know, like I have struggled with insecurity my entire life. I still have insecurities. We all do. Anybody that says that they don't is full of shit. But I have come to a place now where I'm very secure in myself and I've embraced my flaws and I'm proud of how everything, whatever. And it took me a long time to get there. And I know what it's like to not be there. And I just, you have to be in that state to truly lift other people up. If you don't give yourself 1,000%, how are you going to be there for other women? And I think that women empowerment also needs to put a huge emphasis on self-care and yourself. Because until this is 100%, you can't help other people. You need to fill yourself up first. And it is so important. And that's why we need these communities of women that just come together. And like, sometimes you got to see somebody else. Like I was making a fool of myself at this event. I wasn't dancing. Like I was being a jackass, but it gave other people the permission of like, don't take yourself so seriously. Like you can't look any stupider than I look right now. So just go out there and have fun. That's when women empowerment like is good and real and raw. And that's my whole shtick on it.
Yeah. I mean, authenticity is one of the key things that you mentioned there, because it's one thing to, you know, put yourself out there as the leading feminist or whatever it means to be, you know, posturing as a person that supports women empowerment, but to really live it through, you know, your actions and embrace it through the lens of authenticity. I think that's dope. And I think that's why people love the Kirkster, Quirky Kirky. That's why she's the Quirky Kirks.
The Kirkster.
The Kirkster. Oh man.
That's the first time I heard that one, but okay.
Right. Hey, that's how we do on the PMP. We said we started off with AKAs, and are we ending with AKAs? I think that's a perfect time to just ask Kirkman where we can find her.
Where you can find me. You can find me on the Instagram machine at Christina Kirkman. You can find Woman Child at woman.child on Instagram. You can find me on TikTok, same thing, at Christina Kirkman. womanchild.shop. You can find my dog. It's your boy Winston.
Hey, your boy.
Good page.
And yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm hanging around. You can, you know, message me, we'll chat. I'm fun. We can go out. You know, if you see me around, say what's up. Or not. Oh, don't
do that. Find me at home and I'm going on mute. Find me on mute, LeeBoyTV.com.
All right. Well, hey, Twitter, Instagram at KVNG Primetime. Follow Prime Nostalgia Pie. And go support Woman Child. You know, I got this little hat, you know, a little
hoodie. Yeah, you do.
I'll get more stuff.
Come on.
Like we talked about earlier, you know, this hat need, you know, some spikes in it. You know, need to be red or something, you know, something similar. But you got anything else before we get out of here?
I got nothing else, guys. Just, you know, I got one thing actually that I want to say.
Okay.
We all, this is important to me and to everybody, I think, right now. We all need each other right now. Okay. We are the only ones that are looking out for one another. We have to help people whenever we can. And if you are in a situation where you feel like you can't help, you can. And you don't have to ever be in a situation where you feel like you have everything to be able to help. Whatever that is, whether it is helping somebody fill up their gas tank or smiling at someone on the street or acknowledging a homeless family or buying them In-N-Out or whatever it may be, please help people. And I feel like social media has brought us together, but it's also made us all feel worlds apart. And we just all need to come back together and like be kind. And the whole like canceling everybody, let's remove the emphasis on canceling everybody and put all of that energy into like fucking helping people and making this world better. As cheesy as it is, we are all that we have. And that is all I have to say.
Stop the cancel, start the council. You guys heard it from Kirkman. And with that, Prime Time, come on, give it, help me out, Prime.
It's all the time.
All the time, we out.
Thanks for tuning in to the Prime Nostalgia, the podcast dedicated to entertainment from childhood, that's 80s, 90s, the latest 2000s, cause Prime ain't know it all, and Lee Boy be wild, and he's from all that, dropping gems for you to find, so that's orange, the light is line, Prime Time is all the time, we talking about the classics and there's so many, that's Lee Boy TV and PRIME, pal.